So David and myself are tag teaming today. So I've got to be quick. So I'll have to be careful.
Go for it.
Okay, some of you may not know, but we were in the fires. We had our holiday, which I have done since I was a child, at Naruma, which is on the south coast, which is near Bermagui, Maruya. What other places might you know? It's all where the fires have been, Cobargo, Badala, Batemans Bay, all in there. And we've been there. I've been doing it for all my life, really. But on New Year's Eve, I woke up and I said to David, "Darl, look." And I had my phone. I say, "Look, it's 7:30. Now, we wake up early. It was 7:30. But I said, "It's dark. What is wrong?" So I was out of bed. You know me, I want to know everything. And I'm out of that bed and I'm saying, "What is happening? It is like midnight." It wasn't quite that dark at that point. But it was dark. It was wrong. It was unusual. It wasn't normal. So we quickly had something to eat and we were down. Our daughter and son-in-law and baby were down in a tent on the front. We're in a caravan park. We've got a permanent van. At any rate, we're down there and, of course, they're walking around thinking, I don't know what they were thinking. Oh, we don't know what's going on. This all looks a bit strange. Then it started to rain, but not water. It was ash. And it was these huge bits like this. It was incredible. And then, so it was hard getting messages. You didn't know where the word was coming from, you know. It was past the whispers along and you hoped that it was right. At any rate, we heard that all the tents had to go down because there could be, ember storm. And that could start fires right in the caravan park. So, of course, Aunt and George, they packed everything up, put it on top of their car, all stacked up, you know. And they came up to where we were, which was a miracle because we had a permanent van so we could get in there. You shut everything because the smoke, you could not breathe. The smoke was so heavy, so thick. The miracle, there's so many miracles, but the miracle for me is it was cold. You know, if it had been 40 degrees, I don't know what I would have done. But it was freezing, so it didn't matter if everything was shut up. And also he had a camper stove, so we, because then the electricity went down. No lights, no ATMs, no petrol, no groceries. Everything like that stopped. It was incredible. I mean, it was like a movie. And so we got ourselves up. We thank God because between the two of us, we could help each other and we could have some food. And what do we do for light? Oh, yeah, and had these battery lights. See, he was camping. So he had camping gear, which was wonderful. And so we would get a bit of light and then he'd take it out to the car and recharge and then out the light would come again. So this is what it was like. Then I walked out of the caravan and I saw over the back of us this light, like glow, flames. But you don't know what the distance is. But luckily, Naruma does have water and ocean and lake. So it was over further from that. And there was a guy in the corner, he knows everything. So I was saying, "What do you reckon?" And he says, "Nah, it's miles away, you know, won't hurt us." I'm thinking, all right, okay, I'll go and ask somebody else now. But anyway, that's what it was like. Then at 5 o'clock, we were having dinner, tea at night at 5 o'clock because it was dark. Oh, where's our photos? Oh, yeah, that's what it was like. Have you been seeing photos? Great, okay. That showed you how it got worse and worse and worse. And it was Christmas Eve. Can you imagine? It was the last thing on our mind. New Year's Eve. Sorry, thank you. It was the last thing on my mind. New Year's Eve. I couldn't have cared less. I just knew we probably, potentially can be in danger. How were we going to get out? Anthony had no petrol. Miracle was that David had filled up the night before and we had a full tank. So we decided to go to bed. We didn't want to wait for 12 o'clock or anything like that. But I got in this caravan. I was in this, we got this like a bedroom, the back, and everything shut. Here I am lying in the bed, and I could feel this fear. I could feel my heart just going like that. And you could hardly breathe. This fear. How were we going to get out? And the thing was, in this caravan, I was so claustrophobic. You know, I was stuck. Poor George and Anna on the floor in the tent part of it. And I could just feel this fear sabotaging me. New Year arrived. There was a few revelers around. And I still hadn't slept a wink. I thought, I've got to get outside. I've got to be the watcher. I've got to watch, because just before we went to bed, somebody said to me in the toilets, as you do, she said, oh, do you know that that's now coming from Cobargo, which is not the lake water side, it's the bush side, and it's hit Bermagui turn off. If we get a southerly, it'll be down. That was the last thing before I went to bed. I've got to get out there and watch, because there's a hill and you can't see distance. So I had all this going around in my head. At any rate, all of a sudden, I'm going somewhere with this, all of a sudden, a light shone across my bed. I shot up, sat up, because there's no lights. Everything is in darkness. And I thought, what is that light? And it was one lamppost on the street, a few blocks, few caravans over, and just one. I couldn't see any others. There may have been, but I couldn't see them. I could just see this one. I said, oh, have a guess what? I think the electricity's on. Switch, no electricity. And I thought, wow, that's incredible. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Eve, it is I. And in that moment where I had so much fear, and thought, I had to be the watcher. I had to be the saviour of this situation for my family. If I don't get out there, there was this fear going on. He said, it is I. I am. The I am has made his presence known. Do you know what? I lay back on my pillow and the peace that passes all understanding fell on me, and I slept all night. Until early the next morning. That's what I want to talk about, because I feel like God has spoken to me about it. So let me read from Luke. From Luke 8:16-18. No one lights a lamp and then hides it, covering it over or putting it where its lights won't be. See? No, the lamp is placed on a lampstand so others are able to benefit from his brightness. Because this revelation lamp now shines within you, it will all be revealed. Every secret of the kingdom will be unveiled and out in the open, made known by the revelation light. So pay careful attention to your hearts as you hear my teaching. For to those who have open hearts, even more revelation will be given to them until it overflows. That's my first point, open heart. I believe we are in a year of being influencers, and God wants us to be light on a stand for the world to see. So if we had been able to get a light, we wouldn't have covered it up with a blanket, would we? We would have made sure it shone and did its job. That's what God's asking us to do. He's asking us to be light on a lampstand for the world to see. How can we be that light? We've got the I am in us. We've got the light of God in us. And we can make a difference wherever we are. But God wants to keep speaking into us. So he's wanting us to have hearts that are open to him, that want to hear, want to know, want to discover. So that's my first point, how to be a light on a lampstand for the world to see. 1 Peter 2:9. I've got lots of verses if you want to take them down, because they're good for you to go back. I've got to be quick. Right, keep going. 1 Peter 2:9, broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. That's what we're called to do. Do you know what? That's part of what we do wherever we are, whether we're at work, whether on the train, whether we're in the shops having a coffee. We can be broadcasting because we are a lamp on a lampstand, a light on a lampstand for everyone to see. We've got to know that we can change lives. We can change atmospheres even without speaking, because we have the light within us. 1 John 1:7, but if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another. And I believe unity, living together as one, fellowship is maintained with God as we continue walking in the light he reveals to us. He wants us to work together in unity. You know, some of the things we've seen haven't been very unifying in this fire situation because of what's happening in them. It's hard, it's heartbreaking, it's desperate, but it's no value in it. It doesn't help. But God says he's calling us to work in unity with one another. And to walk in light also involves being open, transparent and honest. So let's do life together, acknowledging anything the Holy Spirit reveals to us. So that's how we can be part of our light, by sharing with each other and doing life together. John 2:9, anyone who says, I am in the light, while holding any hatred, resentment, unforgiveness towards anybody, we end up in darkness. It's like, you know, the old-fashioned lights were kerosene or paraffin or something that burnt. Anyway, but if that ran out, the light would go out. And that's when we have unforgiveness in us, it dries up our light like that. And God is saying to us, let's walk in his light. And if we need to ask somebody's forgiveness or offer forgiveness or ask God to help us not have such resentment, etc., let's do it. Because this year we are going to be influencers with God's light. Hebrews 10:32. Let me just go. Don't you remember those days right after the light shined in your hearts? You endured a great marathon season of suffering hardships, yet you stood your ground. And at times you were publicly, so there was persecution for their faith. Then at times you stood side by side with those who preached the message of hope. And I feel like God's saying, stand in the message of hope of Jesus. You know, these fires and lots of circumstances in our lives can challenge us, can't they? They can challenge us, and they challenge our faith, challenge what we think. Where are you, God? What are you doing? How could this happen? I believe he's saying, will you stand with the message of hope? If we do that, we can walk as a light on a lampstand for the world to see. Whatever's happening around us, it doesn't mean to say we don't acknowledge stuff. Of course we do. I mean, I was frightened. We were in a situation with how are we going to get out? But even then he says, stand with the message of hope. Don't lose your boldness. So it goes down further. You sympathise with those prisoners, convinced that you possess a treasure growing in heaven that could never be taken from you. I love this. This is a great chapter to read. It's Hebrews 10. So don't lose your bold, courageous faith, and you are destined for great reward. Listen, it does take courage. It does take boldness sometimes. But do you know what? God is calling us to be influencers and to have that courage, have that boldness in the face of whatever 2020 turns up. And also we need strength and endurance. You need the strength and endurance to reveal the poetry of God's will, and then you receive the promise in full. I love this. It's so encouraging. And it's how we can live in the midst of turmoil, tragedy, stuff we can't understand. And verse 38 says, no fear, don't let it hold you back. Fear was paralyzing me. I couldn't think. I was fearful. But that's no good. It paralyzes us. We can't move, but live in faith. So because God's, I said before, he will give us revelation after revelation. So he gave me a revelation. As I was praying, but I was also still fearful, but God gave me a revelation. He showed up. He showed his presence to me, and that was it. So we need to be in those places where we hear and see God's presence. So he's wanting us to experience true life, to be a light on a lampstand, be an influencer this year.
How good was that? Let's thank Eve for bringing that. Good to be here. Welcome, everybody. Just looking around the room, if this is your first time, fantastic to have you here at The Hive. And Eve and I are the pastors here. Love to have coffee after, if anybody would like to chat. But a couple of thank yous. Thank you to everybody who sent text messages to us while we were stuck. I love the culture God's building among us of encouragement and reaching out and thinking of other people. That's Jesus' heart, right? So thank you for doing that. It was funny, we actually were able to receive messages at times, but not send them. That was just the way of Telstra. So, but thank you. And thank you again for everybody who came today to help set up the building here. Can we thank them for our team? You guys are the best. I have a way, hopefully, to embed a thought in your thinking, in your hearts. It's 2020, right? That's not new news. But my key central Bible reference is based on a 2020 verse. You up for it? Yeah? So it's a way to remember. You good? So 2020. So it's in the book of Chronicles. And I was sitting in my office space yesterday and God just reminded me of this verse, and I thought, wow, what a brilliant scripture for anchoring our hearts as we start the year, for anchoring our hearts as we, I believe, in a kind of a way, we run the risk as a nation of having an overdose of trauma and an overdose of all the things that are happening. Not that we aren't to have compassion for, and obviously that's God's heart. But I feel today God wants us to look above the fires. He wants us to look above what's happening on this early part of the year. And let's face facts, it has kind of hijacked naturally, I believe, our thinking in our hearts. God wants us to look up to him, amen? He wants us to look ahead. He wants us to look to heaven today. Are you with me? And to look above the fires. It's not as if we do not recognise all of that it is. But today is a day for bifocal vision, all right? Today's a day for 2020 vision. Today's a day for 2 Chronicles 2020. I believe we're coming into influence. And I just need to show you this. Go back to the picture, please. If you haven't worked this out, this is Hornsby. Did you know that? And that's Westfield. That's where the Bedford is. There's the railway line. Here's the oval we're looking at right there. Can you see that? PCYC is right there. That's where we are today. Can you follow that? Yep. I believe God's calling us to have a godly influence over our city. And it's a year of influence. But I believe this scripture 2020 is a way to anchor your thinking, anchor your heart, anchor your spirit into that which actually truly is the foundation for influence. So what does it say in that verse? It says in 2 Chronicles 20:20, and this is a moment in the history of Israel where there was much trauma, not necessarily bushfires, but there was a lot going on. The nation were under extreme threat, and the man of God stands up and he says this, 2020, so they rose early in the morning. I think it was probably later than 9:30. This is a late start, you know, for a church, because God says a lot early in the morning. They rose early in the morning, they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat the king stood and he said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Israel." And here it is, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." Just read that again. "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." I believe today the Lord would want us to anchor our beliefs in the right place. I love reading the Weekend Australian. We often refer to it, but you guys might have seen on the beginning of kind of the wrap-up to 2019, journalists were describing the decade we've lived in as a decade of disruption. I wonder how you would describe the last 10 years. A decade of disruption. A decade where much that we have previously anchored our beliefs in has been disrupted. A decade of political disruption. You understand what I'm talking about. A decade of social disruption. Think about the changes to marriage. Think about the kind of fluidity of gender. Think about the way that Christmas today is seldom even associated with the birth of Jesus when it's celebrated. Do you get what I'm saying? You're very quiet today. It's okay just to say yes. I'm hearing you, right? A decade of disruption. And I don't know about you, but I would certainly say we have experienced a lot of disruption in our own personal world, even I, and we've experienced disruption here in Hornsby, in Sydney. It's a decade, for example, where the smartphone and where the iPad have actually been almost normal and have disrupted the normal separation between work and home. A decade of disruption. A decade where every single, you know, Tom, Dick and his Harry, whatever, can actually put an opinion up. We do not live in an age where there is a lack of belief. I put it to you today that everyone has a belief of some sort. I put it to you today, do you agree with me, that everybody actually, we have a greater measure of liberty to express our beliefs and post things and say things, yes, than ever before. So the issue not for Australia is not that we do not have belief. I put it to you, the issue is that we do not anchor our belief in the right things and indeed in the right person. Are you with me? So I believe today as we head into 2020, the Lord would want us to remember what it is and who it is that we should believe in. And clearly the Word of God says, believe on the Lord your God. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. I put it to you that the opposite of disruption is establishment. The opposite of, if you are disruptible, then you are a person, I put it to you, who can be disrupted because your beliefs are not firm. The word of the Lord today, I believe, for us as we seek to be influencers, and I talked about this a few weeks ago before Christmas, that the whole kind of idea of being an influencer has been kind of hijacked by social media. And to be an influencer today is someone who possibly has a great body or is able to market something simply because a lot of people like you and follow you. Today, I put it to you that being a true influencer is not based on our externals, it's based on our internals. We're influencers because of what we believe on the inside, and that actually impacts our capacity to influence those around us and our culture. Influencers. I believe that today God's saying two things. Believe on the word of the Lord and believe on the prophets, and you shall prosper. And you shall prosper. I want to say a few things about the fires in this context. What do the prophets say? The prophets in Isaiah prophesied the forthcoming Jesus. The Bible says that the spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Isaiah said of Jesus, and I'm going to read this out because it's a key. I believe today it's so important to look to Jesus, to look to Jesus. It's so important not to be distracted, not to be soaking up hours and hours of television trauma. It's not that we haven't done that, but I have made the conscious decision with Eve. We have to stop watching this and we have to remember who Jesus is and what he's saying in 2020. The Spirit of the Lord, can you say amen? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me, speaking of Jesus, to preach good tidings to the poor. And it goes on and on. You're familiar with the script, but then particularly it says in verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. To give them beauty for ashes. What is the prophetic word to our nation today? That Jesus came to bring hope and restoration, even to those today who literally are looking at a pile of ashes that once upon a time was their home. The imperative for us in this moment as a nation is to keep remembering who Jesus is. Keep remembering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good news. Good news to the poor. Good news to the captive. Good news to the blind. Good news to the brokenhearted. Good news to those who are sitting in ashes. The prophetic word is, and he gave me beauty for ashes. But I want to also say, and I have heard a bit of a strand from just as I've listened and have conversations, people who say, oh, David, God is judging our nation. God is obviously very upset with the sinfulness of Australia, and the fires are intended to bring about, kind of punishment. And I want to read you a scripture, and I want to speak into that very belief, actually. I want to challenge that belief. 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. 2 Peter chapter 3, I should say. Beloved friends, this is now the second letter I've written to you in which I've attempted to stir you up and awaken you to a proper mindset. It's talking about belief, a proper belief. So never forget, here it is, both the prophecies. Can you see how this is similar? Never forget the prophecies spoken by the holy prophets of old and the teaching of our Lord and Saviour spoken by your apostles. Then verse 3, they conveniently overlook from the beginning the heavens and earth were created by God's word. Verse 6, then long afterward he destroyed the world with a tremendous flood by these very waters. We know about that, the flood. And then with Noah. And verse 7, and now by the same powerful word, listen to this, the heavens and the earth are reserved for fire. Can you hear that? Being kept for judgment day when all the ungodly will perish. So, dear friends, don't let this one thing escape your notice. A single day counts like 1,000 years to the Lord Yahweh, and 1,000 years counts as one day. This means that, contrary to man's perspective, belief, thinking, the Lord is not late with his promise to return as some measure lateness, but rather his delay simply reveals his loving patience toward you. This is very important, because he does not want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Verse 10, speaking about a future day. The day of the Lord will come, and it will take everybody by surprise as an unexpected home invasion. The atmosphere will be set on fire. Do you hear that? We've seen, but this is describing something of an intensity. I mean, there's not enough superlatives, right, that the media are using presently to describe what we are experiencing. But the word of the Lord is describing a future day of a ferocity and a fearsomeness that is beyond language. A future day, which is a judgment day, a future day where we'll take everybody by surprise. The atmosphere will be set on fire and vanish with a horrific roar. We met a young couple early on New Year's Eve morning who just turned up having... And they were checking into a cabin opposite us, and we thought, this is strange. You don't normally check into accommodation at 8 in the morning. And I went and said hello to them. And anyway, I said, how are you? They said, we've just lost our house. And they had had a phone call at 3:30 in the morning, like 5 hours before our conversation, saying, you have to get out. And so with one child and another child who wasn't actually with them but was with the grandparents on the other side of the fire, which meant they couldn't actually reach their oldest son. And there's nothing like meeting somebody for it to bring home to you or everything, to your heart. This is incredible. But this guy said to me, his name was Jamie, he said, David, you have no idea the roar of the fire. I could hear it from my bed. And so, again, I say, really with fear and trepidation before God, there is a future day coming. It is not the fire that has presently in Australia, with a horrific roar, and the heavenly bodies will melt away as in a tremendous blaze. The earth and every activity of man will be laid bare. Since these things are on the verge of being dismantled, don't you see how vital it is to live a holy life? We must be consumed with godliness. We must be consumed with godliness. I think of Daniel. I think of Daniel, who was that kind of quintessential refugee, completely removed from his home country, removed from his home nation, removed from beliefs that were the ones were raised with, removed from his family, living in the king's court. Completely, really, if anybody could identify with people around the globe today who are displaced, it would be Daniel. But see, Daniel lived out of 2 Chronicles 20:20. He had a belief system that was firm. In Daniel chapter 1, when he was confronted by this kind of indoctrination program that was set up by King Nebuchadnezzar to eat certain things and to be educated according to the ways of that foreign kingdom, the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. What is that describing? That is describing a purpose belief system that Daniel lived out of, positioned his life out of, prayed out of, and began to move in an influence that was unprecedented for his time. We're believing to influence Hornsby and this general area and beyond, but Daniel actually influenced a whole kingdom because he purposed in his heart. I believe today, as we set our hearts on the future, as we set our hearts on being the kind of people that God's calling us to be, I believe today that as we look back at that picture and the oval and this building, God is calling us to a vision for influence that is not just about Sunday, it's not just about today, not just about being in a building in a particular place, but God wants you to know that you actually have an opportunity to be an influencer out of how you believe and who you believe and what you believe in and how you position your heart and your life, how you position your decisions, how you position the little things. A well-known Christian pastor who regrettably has had some kind of moral fall wrote a book years ago with this theme of kind of what matters is who you are when no one's looking. And I say that with kind of trembling before you as the leader of this church, that how we live in our private space really matters. How we live in that space when no one's looking really matters. How we treat those small decisions that seem to have no real consequence, they really matter. And today I believe God's calling us to do exactly what the scriptures say, to have a passion and a focus on going after God, going after purity, going after godliness, going after wholesomeness, going after single-mindedness, to be Daniels in our own spaces. Not all of us are like Daniel, who one day ended up in the king, in the court of the king. Remember, Daniel himself went through fire. Daniel trusted God in the fire. Daniel was actually perfected in the fire. And to those of you who might be today not sitting in an actual fire experience, but who might have come out of 2019 having been in a virtual fire, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you I know who are in your own trials and crises and versions of fire, and today you smell of smoke. Mm-hmm. Today, I mean, honestly, I was telling someone, our car stinks of smoke. I said to Eve, I'm going to have to get this car detailed. So went up the road to the local, and they did a great job. They can't get rid of the smell of smoke. It'll take a while. I think Laurie said I've got to use some Glen 20, if anybody has. But let's be honest, Glen 20 today, if you have been in a virtual fire, a metaphorical fire, Glen 20 won't get rid of the smell of smoke. But I want to encourage you today, God uses fire to purify our beliefs. God uses fire to form our beliefs. God uses fire to test our beliefs. Our nation has been tested in the last 10 years. And I believe more than ever before, we have a pivotal opportunity as individuals, not just a church, okay, because this church is only as strong as we are individually. Our city of Hornsby is only as strong as those individuals who go home today with a conviction in their hearts, I'm going to live after God. I'm going to put him first. I'm going to actually elevate my thinking. I'm going to know how to position my thoughts and my prayers. We're having prayer tomorrow night because I believe prayer counts. We've had prayer many times over the years. Some of you have come along during various seasons of the Hive. But I believe today we're actually walking some of the answers to that prayer. Being in this very building is an answer to that prayer. All those children who were there last 22nd of December is an answer to that praying. Aileen's looking at me. She knows. We've prayed and poured our hearts out before God. Send families. Send children. God, move in our church. We need to pray. Daniel knew nothing would put him off praying. You know that. The reason he ended up in the lion's den was he purposed in his heart to be a person of prayer. Today we need to be prayers, and I'm calling us as a church, not just tomorrow night. I get it that there's many things on and work and other commitments, but be a prayer in 2020 as we go forward in Jesus' name. Be a prayer. So that's really, I think, the main thing God would want to say, that our beliefs will form our lifestyle. And it's out of our godly lifestyle that heavenly influence on earth will come. So we're going to close. And, you know, before Christmas, when we were here last time, a fortnight ago, I just shared this this belief that is the gospel, that the gospel is about before pay, not after pay. Some of you were here. Some of you know that there's this new fandangled way that you can pretty much lay by. It's a form of credit. You can buy stuff in David Jones or wherever, and it's got this little sign that says after pay, right? And I said the gospel actually means before pay. We've read from the scriptures that there is a coming day of fire. It'll be terrible. It'll be a devastation like has never been seen before. And it won't even be the fire itself that is the thing that is fearsome. It is the fact that God is coming to judge the earth. He's coming to judge individuals. He's coming to look into your heart and my heart and to actually ask us what we have done with the person of Jesus. That is the day coming. That's why I say with confidence, God is not judging our nation, because the judgment is coming. The Bible says that his kindness leads us to repentance. And the Bible says that mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen. I believe that is God's heart today. And I believe that we need to go to God to actually call on his compassion and his love. He's not judging. If he was a God who judged like that, none of us could be here, right? None of us would have, amen, none of us would have any right to stand before God, a holy God, and to actually believe that we have any kind of right for a relationship with him. our sin is something that we are all commonly affected by. God is not judging our nation. What he is doing is actually, it's mysterious. But I believe his heart still is to bring everybody to repentance. So, before pay or after pay. As we close, I know that in a room like this, there's probably at least one person, maybe more. And just like Elizabeth, thanks for sharing, Elizabeth, who talked about this kind of notion that somehow God... Where are you, Elizabeth? Can't see you. Hiding. Thank you for sharing. Elizabeth shared about this notion that somehow God was punishing her. That is not our God. He doesn't do that. He actually desires to love us and call us to new thinking. That's what beliefs are. It's about renewed thinking, renewed minds. It's a change, constant ability, willingness to change the way that we think. He's doing that to all of us today, I believe. I want to say this. Don't just look at today and the fires, but believe in the name of Jesus that as we look back to this start of January, later in the year, we're going to have perspective. We're going to see what God has done. We're going to see the miracles that he's done, the changes that he's wrought in our country. Let's believe that right now we cannot have the full perspective. Amen. And let's believe in prayer that God is going to shift things and do things that later we'll just look back and say, God, you are beyond marvelous for what you've done. But back to any individual this morning, and you might still be thinking that somehow God is wanting to punish you or has punished you. Things have happened in your life and you have been just in that belief that you're getting punished. That is not why Jesus came. Jesus came to actually bear the punishment of sin for you and for me. And just as you would close your eyes, please, just so we can have some privacy, I just want to invite anyone this morning who has not really ever perhaps believed in the message of the gospel, believed in who Jesus is and why he came and the punishment that he took on your behalf and my behalf. And today, in a step of faith before God alone, is just a willingness to say, God, I want to receive that gift of before pay. And God, I want to be pardoned from after pay. And God, I want to actually give my life to you as a symbol and a token and as a just a preparedness to live life after you. And maybe I'm talking to you and you want to actually say yes to that. I'm just inviting you to slip your hand up just as an acknowledgement that, David, I want that for my life. I don't want after pay. I want to receive Jesus' gift of before pay. And maybe you have done that years ago and today you're not living really in that space of willingly and kind of in a real tangible way walking with Jesus. And today's a day just to rededicate. Today's a day to say, God, I'm going to purpose in my heart to live 2020 with you. I'd just like you to respond. That can be all of us today. But if that's how you're feeling, just raise your hand and I want to bless you and say thank you, Jesus. So can we stand? We're going to finish with just singing that chorus, bless the Lord, O my soul. But I want to release a blessing this morning over everyone here and invite you, if it's your desire to be a Daniel in 2020, if it's your desire to reposition your beliefs and your prayers and to live completely out of that belief system that is God's truth and God's word, would you just open up your hands? We're going to pray. So God, I thank you for the privilege, God, of being able today to learn and to live out of the legacy of our forefathers in the faith, to be able just to go right back in time to the words of Jehoshaphat and to receive that into 2020. God, when our country is in so much turmoil and where there is so much that is tragic and challenging, God, I thank you today for an invitation to be a people of firm belief and a people who position our hearts and our lives in and on the very person of Jesus Christ. So, God, I release a blessing now over every single person who wants that for their own heart. And God, I thank you, Jesus, for a greater grace as we go forward in 2020. God, no matter where we're from, no matter whether this is our home church or not, Father, that today, from this moment forward, there will be a greater measure, God, of influence, of deep rooted, godly influence. God in our culture, on our neighbours, on our workplace, on our families, God, and on those who you bring about across our paths, because that's who you are and what you do. God, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name, and we receive that now, and we say thank you, and everybody said amen.